Model Test 4. Part 3. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Number 11. Helen doesn't take a part-time job this semester.
No, her grades enabled her to earn a scholarship.
Question. What is implied about Helen?
Number 12. Why are you giving me a speeding ticket? I was only going 40.
Can't you read? That was 10 miles per hour over the limit.
Question. What is the relationship between the two speakers? Number 13. Let's stop and look at this furniture, Billy. Have you ever seen more beautiful sofas?
Quite often, and for much less money, too.
Question. What does the man think of the sofa? Number 14. Poor Charlie. To be so close to finishing and then not to graduate.
If you had known how he had dealt with his schoolwork, you wouldn't feel like that.
Question. What can be inferred about Charlie?
Number 15. I forgot to bring paper and pencil to take notes with in class.
That's all right. I have enough for both of us.
Question. What will the woman probably do? Number 16. How about joining me at the hotel for lunch?
I'd love to, Henry, but I've got to cash a check at the bank so I can pay for our tickets to the concert.
Question. Where is the woman going now? Number 17. We've worked long enough for a Saturday afternoon.
Okay, let's call it a day.
Question. What does the woman mean? Number 18. How did you find your job? Was it advertised in the paper?
I looked and looked for months without finding anything. Then a friend told me about this job, so I applied and got it.
Question. How did the woman learn about the job opening?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Hello, Bill. You look very sad. What happened?
Don't mention it. Our baseball team was beaten by Australia last night.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that. I know baseball is a traditional pastime in the U.S., but you should not expect your team to win every time.
Sure, I know. But it was a matter of pride for the U.S. baseball team to win the 1996 Olympic Games. How I wish they could win this time.
I also watched the live broadcast yesterday. It was a close game. They gave their best, but luck was not on their side.
You're right. How about baseball in China? Is it also very popular?
I think it's getting more and more popular now.
Yeah, when I first came to China a few years ago, I couldn't find anything about the games on newspapers or in sports reports on TV.
I agree. I am a big baseball fan, too, and I often go to the internet to find out who has won and who has lost.
Right. As far as media coverage is concerned, I've seen a lot of changes in recent years in China.
Baseball in China is becoming an important sport now. I still remember several years ago when I went to the stadium to watch a game. There were only a few dozen spectators, but now at least thousands of fans show at every game.
Watching a baseball game in China now is almost like that in the U.S.
Well, even so, I believe baseball in China is not quite up to the level as other advanced countries.
Given some time for good training, I think Chinese baseball teams will reach world class.
Did the Chinese baseball team go to play at the 2004 Athens Olympic Games?
No. Unfortunately, the Chinese team lost in the Asian Championships and therefore failed to qualify for the Athens Games.
That's too bad. But I'm sure with intensive training in the next few years, the Chinese team no doubt will be qualified for the 2008 Beijing Olympics.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you've just heard.
19. What are the two speakers mainly talking about?
What do we know about baseball games in China?
What can be inferred about the Chinese baseball team?
22. In which of the following games does the Chinese team still have the chance to win?
2.
Where did you go on May Day? I called you several times.
Really? I have my holiday on a seaside resort.
Wow, that's terrific. Did you travel alone?
No, my wife and son also traveled with me. Where did you go then?
I went nowhere. I spent the whole holiday writing. I have to finish it before Mother's Day. But I do plan to travel next month. That's why I'm calling you. Could you give me some advice?
Oh, how about the seaside? That's a really good place for a holiday.
Sounds good.
There are two hotels I can recommend while you are on your trip. They are both brand new and are usually fully booked, so you'd better call them in advance.
I see. So what are they like?
Well, one is called the Hotel Bayview. It's on the coast. So it's very quiet and peaceful without noise pollution. And the rooms are of standard size and they all have a nice little balcony where you can overlook the ocean.
That's great. I need to have a tranquil period to relax. How about the other?
The other is a city center hotel. Of course, there are no views of the sea, and it tends to be a bit noisy and busy. But it is very convenient for you to go anywhere from the hotel.
Ugh, it's useless for me. I don't want to go shopping or do anything like that. What about the price?
Well, the Central Hotel is quite a bit more expensive.
I know. Thanks for your suggestion.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
23. Why does the woman call the man?
What should the woman do if she is to stay where the man recommends?
25. Which of the following environments will the woman probably choose?
2. Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. In the eyes of many people, city life is attractive with all its advantages and convenience, yet they don't see the other side of the picture. First, with the expansion of the city, housing has become a serious problem for city people. Then there is the problem of pollution. Harmful gases from vehicles and poisonous water from factories pollute our surroundings, and noise continually disturbs your peace and rest and drives you mad. Thirdly, modern city life puts a high pressure upon people. You have to hurry to bump into the flood of people, bicycles, cars, buses. All day long, you are under great stress. Fourthly, big cities also cause some social problems, of which high crime rate is the most serious one. People are justifiably in fear of becoming victims of burglaries, robbery, murder, and other crimes at any time. The city should find some way or other to cope with all these problems.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. What may drive city people mad, according to the passage? Question 27. What are city people constantly in fear of? Question 28. What is this passage mainly about? Passage 2. Man has always been fascinated by dreams. He has always tried to find explanations for his dreams. Perhaps dreams tell us about the future or the past. Perhaps they tell us about our deepest fears and hopes. I'll give you 1 or 2 facts about dreams. First of all, everyone dreams. You often hear people say, "I never dream," when they mean, "I can never remember my dreams." When we dream, our eyes move rapidly in our sleep, as if we were watching a movie picture, following it with our eyes. This movement is called REM, which is rapid eye movement. REM sleep is the sleep that matters. Experiments have proved that if we wake people up throughout the night during REM, they will feel exhausted the next day. But they won't feel tired at all if we wake them up at times when they are not dreaming. So it's clear that it is dreaming that really refreshes us, not just the sleep.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. Why has man been so fascinated by dreams? Question 30. What does REM mean? Question 31. What have the experiments proved about dreams? Passage 3. Are you familiar with large supermarkets? If so, then you probably know that almost everything in the market is in a container. Most food is in containers. Even fresh meat is sold in plastic packages. Fresh fruit and vegetables are usually the only food items that don't come in containers. In fact, almost everything at the supermarket is in a bag, a box, a bottle, a jar, a carton, or a can. This kind of packaging system is necessary at large supermarkets. Supermarkets buy large quantities of everything. Products must be protected during shipment, and they must sit on the shelves for long periods of time. Containers, therefore, protect the products. Containers have another function, too. They give information about each product: names, weights, materials, and ingredients, and sometimes pictures of the products. This information is printed on labels or directly on the containers. But think of this. We never see most of the things we buy at the supermarket until we get home and open the containers. When we go shopping, we look at the labels on the containers. If the container is made of glass or clear plastic, perhaps we could see a little bit of the product. But usually containers completely hide their products. Shoppers must trust the labels.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. Which of the following is usually not sold in containers at large supermarkets? Question 33. What are the functions of containers? Question 34. Which of the following doesn't need to be printed on labels? Question 35. Why must shoppers trust labels?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Jeffrey Zaslow, the advice columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, grew up in suburban Philadelphia. His biggest ambition in life was to be a writer. "I never wanted to be anything else," he says. "I was 10 or 11 when I saw Gone with the Wind, and I wrote my own Civil War story. After earning a degree in creative writing at Carnegie Mellon University, he got a job at a newspaper in Orlando, Florida. He made his mark with his article on the rough working conditions endured by the people inside the Mickey and Minnie costumes at Walt Disney World. Later, he became a staff writer for the Wall Street Journal. In 1988, when the famous advice columnist Ann Landers quit her job at the Chicago Sun-Times, the paper launched a nationwide contest to find her replacement. Jeffrey Zaslow applied. Among the 12,000 contestants, women outnumbered men 9-1, and most of them had seen a lot more of life than Zaslow, who was 28 and not married. When he reached the semifinals, his editors at the Journal ran a headline, "While he'll never make it." But Jeffrey did make it in the finals. Today, 13 years later, his column, All That Zaz, is read by thousands of readers in the Chicago area. His years in the advice business left him with a deep appreciation for people and their problems. He is also greatly moved by the generosity, sincerity, and good nature of his readers. "Wonderful people," he says, "do outnumber terrible people in this world. I have much more faith in my fellow man than I did before. And I've read plenty of letters to back that up."
Now, the passage will be read again.
Jeffrey Zaslow, the advice columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, grew up in suburban Philadelphia. His biggest ambition in life was to be a writer. "I never wanted to be anything else," he says. "I was 10 or 11 when I saw Gone with the Wind, and I wrote my own Civil War story. After earning a degree in creative writing at Carnegie Mellon University, he got a job at a newspaper in Orlando, Florida. He made his mark with his article on the rough working conditions endured by the people inside the Mickey and Minnie costumes at Walt Disney World. Later, he became a staff writer for the Wall Street Journal. In 1988, when the famous advice columnist Ann Landers quit her job at the Chicago Sun-Times, the paper launched a nationwide contest to find her replacement. Jeffrey Zaslow applied. Among the 12,000 contestants, women outnumbered men 9-1, and most of them had seen a lot more of life than Zaslow, who was 28 and not married. When he reached the semifinals, his editors at the Journal ran a headline, "While he'll never make it," but Jeffrey did make it in the finals. Today, 13 years later, his column, All That Zaz, is read by thousands of readers in the Chicago area. His years in the advice business left him with a deep appreciation for people and their problems. He is also greatly moved by the generosity, sincerity, and good nature of his readers. Wonderful people, he says, do outnumber terrible people in this world. I have much more faith in my fellow man than I did before, and I've read plenty of letters to back that up.
Now, the passage will be read for the third time.
Jeffrey Zaslow, the advice columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, grew up in suburban Philadelphia. His biggest ambition in life was to be a writer. "I never wanted to be anything else," he says. "I was 10 or 11 when I saw Gone with the Wind, and I wrote my own Civil War story." After earning a degree in creative writing at Carnegie Mellon University, he got a job at a newspaper in Orlando, Florida. He made his mark with his article on the rough working conditions endured by the people inside the Mickey and Minnie costumes at Walt Disney World. Later, he became a staff writer for the Wall Street Journal. In 1988, when the famous advice columnist Ann Landers quit her job at the Chicago Sun-Times, the paper launched a nationwide contest to find her replacement. Jeffrey Zaslow applied. Among the 12,000 contestants, women outnumbered men 9 to 1, and most of them had seen a lot more of life than Zaslow, who was 28 and not married. When he reached the semifinals, his editors at the Journal ran a headline, "While He'll Never Make It." But Jeffrey did make it in the finals. Today, 13 years later, his column, All That Zazz, is read by thousands of readers in the Chicago area. His years in the advice business left him with a deep appreciation for people and their problems. He is also greatly moved by the generosity, sincerity, and good nature of his readers. "Wonderful people," he says, "do outnumber terrible people in this world. I have much more faith in my fellow man than I did before, and I've read plenty of letters to back that up."
This is the end of listening comprehension.